While John Lewis stood up to the oppression in the Jim Crow South, others fled to different parts of the country. By 1970, around 6 million blacks had made that trip. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Isabel Wilkerson of Atlanta writes about this mass exodus in this month's issue of Smithsonian Magazine. I began by asking her where the Great Migration fits into the larger landscape of African American history.
The time in which they were enslaved lasted for 246 years. That's 12 generations, a very, very, very long time. And then it was after the Civil War, it was replaced by a new form of servitude, which we often call Jim Crow, but it was actually a caste system in which everything that a person could do, black or white, was dependent upon what they looked like. And so that was a time of tremendous repression. It's hard to come up with any other word for how African Americans were being treated at that time in this beautiful region of the country known as the South. And what did the people do as a result of this? I mean, they were living in a world in which, believe it or not, in Alabama, it was against the law for a black person and a white person to merely play checkers together. It was against the law. You could go to jail if you were caught doing that. There was tremendous violence that was a part of the landscape that actually was a detriment to everybody, black and white. You know, when you had these spectacular, horrific cases of lynchings that occurred every 4 days somewhere in the South, it was a brutal time for the region, just brutal. And what did these people do? These people starting around World War I, began to flee this region in hopes of finding freedom. Essentially, was a search for freedom and citizenship within their own country. So it was kind of a defection, you might say, from this caste system. And it's important to recognize that at the time that this began, 90% of all African Americans were living in the South. So African Americans throughout the country are actually a Southern people. They are Southern to their core. But by the time that this Great Migration ended in the 1970s, nearly half were living all over the rest of the country.
What struck me about your piece, and it struck me even more than when I read your book, The Warmth of Other Suns, was the similarities in between the Great Migration and the refugee discussion that we're having today. Because to a certain extent, the African Americans were refugees. They had to, you include in your piece for the Smithsonian, an ad from the Urban League in Chicago saying, if you're a stranger, if you want a job, if you need a place to live, if you're having trouble, call us. It's almost as though the same sort of support they need when someone comes from another country and comes to a new place.
Yes, it's important to note, especially when you're looking at it from a Southern perspective, that when they arrived in these cities in the North and the Midwest and West, they were viewed as alien. They were viewed as other. They were Southern, and they had what Northerners considered to be accents, and they stood out, and people felt that there was even a funny comment from someone in San Francisco who said that it'll take a little bit of time for them to get Americanized. You know, what does that mean? And so there was this idea that there was some refining that needed to happen to them as a result of their being quote unquote different. And so it's important to recognize that. I think the most important goal of much of what I write is to show how much we all have in common, that we all have so much more in common than we've been led to believe, that these are human reactions to human problems, to human challenges. And these people, as part of this Great Migration, were doing what people, you know, what immigrants around the world have done, what refugees around the world have done. And, you know, the issue for us as a species, as human beings, is to learn from what has happened before. You know, how can we learn from what others have experienced so that we don't keep making the same mistakes? One thing that's important to note, particularly when we're situated in the South, is to recognize that many of these, you know, these big headline-grabbing cases of police overreach and brutality that we're seeing in the headlines that we continue to see, most of them are happening in these northern and western cities that were the places of refuge for people who were the Southerners who left as part of the Great Migration. So this means that the North and the West and the Midwest have yet to truly address the challenges that face not just the South, but the entire country.
How do you view this opening of the African American History Museum. I mean, that's what this is all about, that this museum that has been talked about and discussed and planned for at least 100 years is finally opening in our nation's capital. And yet it's still an African American History Museum as opposed to incorporating that history in with the rest of American history. So I wonder how you take all this in.
Well, I think that, you know, there's a Museum of the American Indian, there's a Museum of Air and Space. This you know, deserves or needs its own platform, and I think that, or otherwise it's subsumed by something larger. And I think that this is all of a piece. You know, there are many, many museums that are part of the Smithsonian, and they all come together. There's a Museum of the Holocaust. So there's a balancing of recognition that no one building can hold all of the history of the United States of America, and I think that this is appropriate. There's a deep and rich history. African American history is also a part of some of these other museums as well, and it all is a recognition of everybody has a role in the building of this country, and this is giving a sense of what the role of this group of people has been.
That's Atlanta writer Isabel Wilkerson. The Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist is featured in the latest issue of Smithsonian Magazine, an article that she wrote about the Great Migration. She's also author of the book, The Warmth of Other Suns, The Epic Story of America's Great Migration. You'll find links to both her Smithsonian article and her book at our website, gpbnews.org. Isabel, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks so much.